Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
All right, well, welcome back, Kim. Now we talked about your book, so let's talk a little bit of, for writers. So to get started, writing your book, what did you learn and what would you do different, or what have you done different with the next couple books?
Oh, that's a good question. What I've learned is that not only the craft of writing, but the whole process of writing is about iteration. It's like a constant learning, adjusting, to find how you do it best. And I imagine that you might settle into something and then realize, you know, a different season has come upon you and your life has changed and you have to change it again. So yeah, in the last year in particular, I've really been playing around with my schedule and how I write and how I arrange my life around my writing to try and get it so I can be productive. And I think I've hit on something that works now. So I think iteration, like constantly changing and adjusting until you find something that works, is really important and something I've learned along the way.
Have you read The Snowflake Method?
No, I haven't. That's one of the few things I haven't read.
I've had multiple people recommend it, so I did read it, and it was funny. The way it's written is very interesting. But I was reading it, and I went back to the one guy, and I said, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what I've been doing. And he's nice. Like, well, good. You discovered it all on your own. So I agree. I've found that I do my best writing in the revision, not the initial writing. That's just to get the story out of my head and get the mechanics over with. The real writing is starting to come when I revise it, and not just from everything, the you know, 50,000 foot view of maybe I move this scene or break this up or whatever, down to the minute, you know, this sentence and this sentence could be stronger if I did this to them and put these words in, rearranged it and cut this out. So the revision for me definitely has become where I do what I feel is the best part of the writing.
Yeah. I've grown to love revision. I hated it at first. But the adjusting for me was also like not just about the actual writing, but it was about how I structured my time when I'm actually writing. So I've recently adopted the Pomodoro method. So I write for 20, I set my timer and I write for 25 minutes or edit or whatever I'm, you know, doing in that moment. And then the timer goes off and I get up from my chair and I move around. I'll do a load of laundry or I'll do some body weight exercises just to keep myself, you know, halfway in shape. But I have to get out of my chair and out of my office and go walk around. And then after 5 minutes, I go back and I set my timer and I write or do whatever for 25 minutes. And then I take another break. And I didn't think I would be productive by doing that. I thought that break every 25 minutes would be difficult, but it's actually having that constraint has made me like, okay, I'm going to write for 25 minutes. I'm not going to, you know, fiddle around and stare at the wall or something. I'm just going to write. And so it's actually made me more productive, those breaks.
And I like that you said that, because one of the things I definitely advocate is having some constraint, some sort of framework of some sort. And I learned this, discovered it, I guess, myself. It was always my thought and way of doing it. When I resisted it, I didn't do as well. But if you just put a blank page down and say, well, I'll write something, it never goes well. I don't get that many words. But if you put it down and say, okay, you've got to write a story about two kids going up a hill to fetch water and you've got 1,500 words,
yeah.
I will get a much better story out of it with that constraint, like you said. So how much writing do you do a day in those groups of 20, 25 minutes?
Well, it depends. You know, when I did NaNoWriMo back in November, I was averaging at least 2,000 and 2,500 words every day.
Nice.
Yeah, some days I was getting over 3,000, which was more than I think I've ever done. And so maybe when I'm not quite so intense like NaNo, I can maybe get about 2,000 words. Just maybe, yeah, 1,800.
Okay. So when you're writing, what software and services are you using?
I use Scrivener to write, and I use Pro Writing Aid to do proofreading and some, you know, basic editing stuff.
Okay. Do you use anything like, sorry, my brain, froze up there. when you use Scrivener, do you export it into Word and do anything with Word? Because I know a lot of people use Word because they're afraid of Scrivener. Or do you pretty much do it all in Scrivener?
Well, I'm all over the place. I do use Scrivener. I do put stuff in Word. When I send things to my critique group, I put them in a Google Doc so we can all share it. So I do kind of use all three of them in various ways.
Okay. And I talked to a guy the other day that used Google Docs for everything. Me personally, I started with Word, but discovered Scrivener because I liked the being able to put a scene or a chapter within one grouping and easily move it around. Unlike Word, I thought it was a lot harder.
Yeah, I like that function too. So I have each chapter as a folder, and then I have each scene as a little document within the folder. And yeah, I like the index cards on the cork board that you can use. And I always write like a little summary in each one of those. So I can go back and just go to the cork board really quick and see which scenes, and I mark when they're done or when they're, need work or whatever. And so that way I can just go back and quickly look what's going on in each chapter and then what needs to be done.
Right. And I like that. And it's funny, I mentioned the snowflake method. It seems to me that Scrivener fits the snowflake method fairly well, that I can grow it and modify it. Now, are you on Mac or PC?
I have a PC.
Okay. So have you tried the beta release candidate of the newest version, Scrivener 3?
I don't think I have.
So you're still on 1?
You know what? I don't even know. I'd have to check. I'm not a computer person.
So Scrivener, they have the Mac version, which is at version 3, and it's the more robust version. For PC, they had version 1, and they said they were going to release a version 3 that had was pretty much the same as the Mac version. So you could go between them and not really notice a difference. Nice. It was supposed to be out like 2 years ago, and they're still kind of working on it. But they're really close, and they've been releasing free beta release candidates for people. And I've actually been using the version 3 beta for the past year. And there have been a few hiccups and problems, obviously, but for the most part, I like it. I know the compile function seems to have a lot of power, but for me, it's almost a little too confusing still. Mm. But I was just curious if you've tried it.
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, when it does come out, we'll have to talk and see if you use a new one. So your book, and I know other writers might be interested in this, you've got it on Amazon. Do you have plans to take it wide, or are you leaving it on Amazon and using Kindle Unlimited?
No, I think once the entire trilogy is out, I'd like to go wide. I like the idea of people in countries that don't have Amazon being able to get the book. So
okay. So what are you doing?
Like baby steps.
right.
Like, yeah, I'm just going to have it be on Amazon and then learn a few more things with each book, and then kind of go, okay, we've got this, you know, under our belt, and now we can maybe go and put it out in some other markets.
Right. And we go back to that. I've seen a lot of people, and they always get the same advice. they're like, oh, should I go wide? Should I do Kindle Unlimited? Should I use this? Should I put it here? And someone will inevitably ask, okay, well, how many books do you have done? They're like, none. I'm just starting on my first one. And everybody's like, focus on finishing the book first. Worry about the marketing later. So, you know, you don't have to get overwhelmed. Just, you know, take it a step at a time.
Right, right.
Okay. So the topic of discussion for today that you wanted to bring up would be community. What were you thinking with community that you wanted to do?
I think I wanted to talk about community because it was so important to me in my journey, especially early on, but even if still, I mean, I don't think, I'm not sure I ever would have started my novel, and I'm almost certain I would not have finished if I had not been a part of a critique group that mm-hmm. wanted submissions regularly. I think it was, at first it was every other week, and then I joined a new group, a different group, and it was every week. And if it hadn't been for that, with them expecting things, I'm not sure if I actually would have finished or if I would have just petered out like I had tried, you know, in the past.
Which I think happens to a lot of people. And it's interesting too, because both of us would advocate community. We're in a community together of some writers. But it's also the opposite of what most writers feel, because a lot of writers are very introverted, very much, I'm good with the pandemic because I get to stay at home type of thing.
Right.
And it's scary to go out and get into a community. You mentioned you had a critique group community. Is that the first community? Have you had any that you went to that you were like, yeah, no, this isn't for me?
So far, everything's been pretty good. The critique group, we're still all together. And I think, you know, with to have a successful critique group, you know, you have to trust the people. You have to be working with people who know what they're doing. And I think you also have to have a lot of guidelines, like what you're going to critique and how you're going to critique. So, yeah, I mean, there's been some, I belong to some like Facebook communities, like different groups. And one has been really successful. It's just for historical fiction writers. And we've all been really supportive of each other. You know, we have feedback week and different things like that. But there's been some that once they get really big, then I think they become, they're not really useful anymore. There's just too many people, too much noise. And I think they lose their effectiveness.
Yeah. The other problem I found with a lot of critique groups, couple things, especially the ones I would go to live, like in the evening, there was never enough time to critique more than a short bit. So it never really helped with the story development or the overall plot in a story. It was always focused on the commas and the periods and the wording choices in a very short bit of text.
We don't do that because we usually deal with earlier drafts. So it's like, I don't care about, you know, copy editing. Just tell me big things like, does this work? So as an example, this recently last week, I had written the first chapter of a book and I wasn't sure if it started in the right place. They had read the original first chapter and they liked it, but I wasn't sure that it started in the right place. So I wrote a new first chapter, sent it to them and said, I just want to know if this is starting in the right place. And they all said, no, your original first chapter was better. Nobody corrected any grammar or did anything like that. It was just like, this was good. This didn't work. That kind of thing. Because to me, it's just a waste of time to do any kind of copy editing, line editing at early drafts, because you might just cut that entire chapter out or that whole scene out. What's the point of, you know, putting a comma in if you're going to delete the whole thing?
And that's probably where I got discouraged by most groups, because I wasn't as interested in, should I use this word choice or put a comma here? You know, I want to know, was the story good? What could make the story better? And that's, I think, harder to find. And I find it nice and interesting. So your group, do you meet at regular times, or are you all just casual when someone has something, they like blast it out to the group and everyone provides feedback when they have the time?
No, we meet every week.
Okay.
Yeah. Pre-pandemic, we either met at a, you know, like a kind of cafe restaurant that we could linger, or we'd meet at somebody's house. Yeah, now we meet through Zoom. But yeah, we meet every week. We've all become really good friends too, so that helps. And the nice thing about finding a group that you like and you trust and sticking with them is that they really know your writing almost even better. Like my group knows my writing better than I do. So there's been times where, you know, they catch me and they go, this, your character wouldn't do this. And then I read it back and I go, oh, they're right. He wouldn't, because, you know, or this isn't working. And I totally trust them. And so, yeah. And having that weekly, even if we don't have anything, we still get together and we'll often just talk about what we've done, like even commiserate. Like, I had a terrible week. I didn't get any writing done. This is awful. My kids are making me crazy. You know, just, or, you know, we might message each other and go, when we're stuck, and, you know, writing is hard. You know, I think we need to remember to take note of that it's hard. Writing a novel is hard. It's difficult. There's a lot that goes into it. And I think it's okay for us to reach out to our other writing friends and just go, oh my God, I'm stuck. This is hard. I don't know what to do. And just have them go, yeah, it is. You know?
I think that's really great, because it is difficult to find those. We've got tonight, if we're both there, an accountability group that we've been meeting with evenings on Tuesdays. And it's kind of casual, but it is very difficult to find people you feel comfortable with. And the one group I do like, but I probably won't be offering any of my writing anymore, because it's, we meet once a month and it's very short, you know, time. There's always a speaker or something like that, but then there's four or five people that read something and everyone provides feedback, but most of the feedback is on, you know, the craft and stuff, not so much the story itself. And you got to watch it. And I don't know if you've experienced this with groups, but you've got to watch, like you said, trust the people. Because there was a story read the one time that was a horror story, and it was only the beginning part of the story. And this one guy kind of jumped all over the writer about, you know, you got to cut this whole bunch here because it needs to start right with the action and get the people hooked and all this. And I read through it and I disagreed with him. I said, no, what you're saying may be exactly what a thriller needs, but I like horror, and horror, you've got to build that up. You've got to get to know the characters. You've got to get that sense of the surroundings and the time where you're at. If you just jump in with, oh my gosh, there's a ghost up in the attic, nobody cares.
Right.
So you really, like you said, got to have a group you trust and people that know what they're talking about too. Not that he didn't, but he didn't know horror, because it's a mixed group.
Right. Yeah, I think that's important. And whenever one of the women in my group writes romance, and I've read some romance. I mean, I do read some romance, but I'm not as fluent in that genre as some of the other members in the group. And so I'll either say, well, this might be a convention of the genre. So sometimes I'll step back from critiquing if it's like, well, I didn't like this, but maybe it's because I don't know what's supposed to be there, or I don't understand this, or something like that. So yeah, it's also good to know the genre of your fellow members.
And also, it's not bad if you do have people you like, but you write different genres, to have somebody in a genre read your stuff that's, you know, a different genre than what you normally write. Because if they're like, look, I don't know the genre, but this is what I felt reading it, or this is what I picked up on for me, it might give you a different perspective that could help. But you got to have enough knowledge of yourself and story and be comfortable, because to say, yeah, that's really not what I'm going for, and that doesn't work in sci-fi the way it does in romance.
Right. So,
you know, but again, that all comes from doing it in experience.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then there's, I know, you know, with the pandemic, it's been hard, but I've joined several different groups where we have done like online write-ins. So you just like, you know, go to a Zoom link and there's a whole bunch of different writers. Sometimes I've been in rooms where like 20 different people are there and everybody, you know, leaves their cameras on and the microphones are muted and you just write together. And it's surprisingly helpful. You wouldn't think that just having somebody on a screen on your computer or, you know, on the computer next to you or whatever, some people do that, would be so helpful, but it is. It's nice to know that there's other people all around you doing the same thing. And it's kind of funny to look at the screen and see somebody like rubbing their head because they're like, they're stuck. But that's, right. You know, it's a form of community too, to know that you're not alone when you're writing, that there are others out there.
Definitely the community and getting the feedback, especially when you get a group you like the group we're in with Jay, pretty much everybody's helpful and tries to be helpful, not just saying annoying things or negative things. And there's a little more trust, I think, because the people really want to be writers and be there. But I think also, and this correlates to your Pomodoro method, that it's a mindset that if you know I've only got 25 minutes to write, your mind shifts into a different gear and it's focused on writing. You know, if you know there's 20 other people staring at their cameras to see if you're the one writing or not, it gets you in that mindset. Yeah, it's almost a competition, but you know, sometimes competition leads to some of the best advances. It pushes you.
Yeah, I think that's why NaNoWriMo works for so many people, because not only are you have that word count to try and meet every day, you also know that there's tens of thousands of other writers out there doing it at the same time. And everybody's like, oh, I'm going to get my word count in, you know, whatever it is that your goal is, whether that's the main one or not. Yeah, I don't see a problem with that kind of competition. Like, I'll look at the screen and it's like, oh, good, not everybody is writing. Other people are staring off into space. So.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning of the year, I unfortunately threw down with Lon, challenged him, and he's definitely getting way more words than I am lately.
Yeah.
So
there's other groups as well. You know, like I belong to the local Romance Writers Association chapter. I know, like, doesn't the sci-fi fantasy, isn't there a group for them? Yep. There's thriller writers. You know, there's groups like that. If you have a local chapter or something like that, or Sisters of Crime, Sisters in Crime, we have one of those here as well. Like, I think belonging to an organization like that can be helpful too, because then you find people in your genre. The groups usually have speakers come in. Sometimes they have agents come in if you want to traditionally publish.
Right.
So those are helpful.
It's definitely good to have those resources and connections. Even if you're not submitting something for others to read, having all those other connections, resources, and pushing you and meeting with people. I mean, I've met with a couple writers just to have a cup of coffee and chat, especially because I work from home, you know, which didn't change much with the pandemic. But when you're working from home, you don't see people much. So it helps you clear your mind sometimes to have someone like, oh, yeah, I only got 100 words yesterday. And oh, I know what you're talking about, you know?
Right. Exactly. That sense of community that is, I just think it's really important, because we have this version from movies. And I don't understand why movies and TV shows still put this version of writers forward, since people who write those shows are writers, but maybe they do it more collaborative. I don't know what it is, but this, you know, the person sitting at their typewriter, their computer all alone, and then they,
well, I, yeah. interrupt. I think that really goes back to what we talked about with your book, that you could have rewrote things and done it so that people were sitting up more than laying down. But we also have a romantic notion in our head. And if you change that in the story, it can be jarring. And that could lead people to, yeah, I didn't care for that book a lot, you know, and it could be something as simple as, well, that writer was running around frantic at a job all day and then was just typing late at night while everyone slept. That's not what a writer is.
Right. You
know, well, yeah, actually it is, folks.
But yeah, we have to change the narrative of what being a writer actually is.
Yeah. You know, there's a comedy horror movie I enjoy with Alan Tudyk called Tucker and Dale versus Evil. And it's poking fun at the whole genre of scary movies, but also a little bit of redneck hillbilly people. But
it's a funny movie. Funny.
I love Alan Tudyk, and that movie, just everything about it made me chuckle. I've watched it a couple times. But you know, is their depiction of a quote unquote hillbilly correct? Well, probably not. But it's got enough of those stereotypes that we can enjoy it and laugh about it and make the movie good. So there's a balance there too. That's getting a little off topic, but.
Well, no, I think we were talking about, you know, the writer sitting alone. And I think you're right. A lot of writers are already introverts. And I think that might be the default for a lot of us. It is for me too. I'm an introvert. Even though I work at the library, at the public, I still prefer to be at home and, you know, just kind of reading and doing my thing. But it's just when you just sit and try and do it alone, I think you're more likely to maybe either not ever finish it or, you know, maybe just feel like it's just too much of a burden, you know, because like I said, writing a novel is hard work. And I think if you have somebody or many somebodies to share that with and to get some feedback or about any part of it or even the marketing part or any of that, I think it's a really good thing. Podcasts like this or any of the other podcasts, I listen to a lot of podcasts about writing and they've helped me so much. And I would consider that like part of my community, even though I don't know most of them. So, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I listened to quite a few podcasts, but that's also where I did discover some communities, like with Jay.
Yeah, me too.
The podcast. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, before we go, Kim, we could probably talk martial arts for a while itself. do you have any last minute advice you would give new authors?
Advice for a new author. I would say this is the same advice I give to new parents. To be patient and be gentle with yourself because it's hard and there'll be a lot of setbacks, and you just enjoy the process experience it. So yeah, I think patience is something that I think is really important to remember. You're not going to, with the writing, you're not going to be the writer you want to be immediately. I forget who it was had talked about that. Like you see a work of art and you want to do something as good as that. But then when you do it, it's nowhere near as good as what you wanted. But that first step is to know what you want, you know, to recognize that work of art. I think you just to be patient and gentle and enjoy the process. Because if you don't enjoy the process, then, you know, why do it?
Right. Exactly. And I think something you said earlier that you hadn't been writing, but it had been like eating at your brain and pinging and you couldn't stop thinking about it. I was even going to mention then, that's kind of a lot of times the difference between somebody who has to be a writer and will write no matter what, and somebody who's just like, well, you know, I think I can make $1 million off this. You know, it's that I have to write. It doesn't matter. I just have to write.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. If you feel that pull, then just do it and enjoy it. And if success comes along the way, that's a bonus.
Yeah. And that, I mean, there are definitely ways to help encourage success.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
You still have to write, and you have to want that desire to write to get you through those tough times.
Exactly.
And to tie it all up, a lot of times that's what community does. They help encourage you and keep you going. All right, great. Well, Kim, it's been really fun talking to you today. I enjoyed myself.
I enjoyed myself too.
Great. I wish you luck on your next couple books, and we'll have to touch base again.
All right, sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe sometime in the near future, it might be you.